Good morning. I'm Mitchell Krause with Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Safety investigators say the flight and cockpit voice recorders have been recovered from the crash of that Atlantic Southeast Airlines commuter jet yesterday in the state of Georgia. Many of the 24 people who miraculously survived remain in serious or critical condition. Five died in the accident, including the pilot. One of those who walked away credits the pilot with saving most of the lives by bringing the plane down in a hayfield after maneuvering it past houses and power lines. This man describes how he got away from the burning wreckage.
Couldn't get my right foot out. So I started pulling, and then I started seeing more, a lot of smoke and some flames. So then I said, I gotta get out of here now.
This is Bob Orr in Carrollton, Georgia. Federal crash investigators this morning are sending the so-called black boxes from the crash to their Washington lab, hoping to pinpoint a cause. But already, one of the crash survivors, John Tweedy, has reported seeing one of the plane's engines explode in flight.
It seemed like we'd reached a cruising altitude, and the left engine just, you know, the whole front of it just kind of exploded. And I could look right out the window and there was no propellers there.
The pilot, who died in the crash, apparently was trying to make an emergency landing at a small regional airport when he was forced to put the plane down. The Brazilian-made Embraer 120 broke into several large pieces and caught fire. This is the third commuter crash in 10 months, and it comes as the FAA is phasing in tougher new safety standards for commuter planes. It is also the second Atlantic Southeast crash involving the Brazilian-made Embraer. The other in 1991 killed Senator John Tower and 22 others. An engine problem that time was the cause. Bob Orr, CBS News, Carrollton, Georgia.
Northwest Airlines has accused rival American Airlines of trying to restore bias into computerized reservation systems by giving travel agents computer software that lets them block out competitors' flights on certain routes. Northwest spokesman John Austin.
We'd like the Department of Transportation to look at our concerns and ask American Airlines to stop doing this. We don't think it's good for consumers, and we think it's anti-competitive.
American says it hasn't seen the complaint and can't comment. It's those Furman tapes again today at the O.J. Simpson trial, as the defense is expected to resubmit a motion to allow parts of them to be heard by the jury. David Dow reports.
For a so-called dream team, it is an embarrassment to be accused of submitting incoherent documents supporting a key motion. But apart from that, Judge Ito's public tongue-lashing has probably not damaged defense chances of playing at least some of Detective Mark Furman's volatile tape remarks for jurors. CBS News legal consultant Jill Lansing says Ito is likely to look at the defense's new cleaned-up motion with fresh eyes.
I think he was frustrated. That's not going to affect his ruling in any way. I think everybody can count on that.
The judge has told jurors to expect some downtime as he pores over the motion to let a largely black jury hear Furman's repeated use of a racial epithet and accounts of alleged police misconduct. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
A report today that the head of a special Philadelphia police unit that handles sensitive racial issues has been transferred for making a racial slur to a black officer. The Philadelphia Inquirer says Captain Thomas Thompson admitted making the remark, but said he was joking around with an officer he considered a close friend. ABC News has apologized on the air to Philip Morris and R.J. Reynolds for an ABC News report last year that said the two tobacco giants put extra nicotine in their cigarettes to addict smokers. The companies had sued ABC for more than $10 billion. Philip Morris Senior Vice President Charles Wall.
We are extremely pleased that the case has been resolved and that the spiking charge is now behind us.
ABC News says it still stands behind the main focus of its report that cigarette makers use a reconstituted tobacco process to control levels of nicotine in order to keep people smoking. The correspondent and the producer reportedly opposed the agreement and didn't sign it. The PLO says Israeli and Palestinian negotiators have resumed peace talks that were suspended after yesterday's bus bombing in Jerusalem, which killed five people and injured more than 100. Two bodies remain unidentified. Police are trying to determine whether one or both might have been involved in the attack. Among the dead, Joan Devaney, a Hebrew school teacher from Woodbridge, Connecticut. Amy Malale is her sister.
I'm not angry. This is a price we pay for wanting to live in Israel and to be in a free society in Israel, so I can't say I'm angry. I'm devastated.
Jay Rubin is a friend of the dead teacher who was on a sabbatical in Israel to gather information on Israel's history for her students.
Her loss is affecting so many people, so many generations ones yet to come who could have benefited directly and indirectly by her charisma and her teaching. It's just an awful kind of tragedy.
Family members say Joan Devaney will be buried in Israel. American soldiers ordered to the Persian Gulf for military exercises are moving out. Fort Hood spokesperson Pamela Goodman.
By about 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, all the troops who are going to deploy as part of intrinsic exercise will be on their way to Kuwait.
The deployment was delayed by the refusal of at least one Middle Eastern nation to allow the planes carrying the troops to fly through its airspace to Kuwait. Sarajevo was rocked by new shelling today. One woman was killed, at least 14 others wounded. Earlier, 6 Egyptian peacekeepers were wounded when a shell believed fired by Bosnian Serbs hit their observation post. The government of Zaire has accelerated its program to force Rwandan refugees out of camps and back home. An estimated 11,000 Rwandans were marched toward the border today, and the UN High Commissioner for Refugees says up to 60,000 others from Rwanda and Burundi fled camps to escape the deportation.
This is not the way to resolve the crisis. If anything, pushing refugees back is going to destabilize the region further and very possibly create further chaos that may engulf the countries of the region.
UNHCR spokesman Peter Kester says gunfire was heard this morning at one of the camps, but it's not clear if there were any casualties. Charges are expected to be filed today against 3 men in connection with the beating of 33-year-old Delitha Ward on a bridge from which she plunged to her death. The story from Gary Baumgarten of CBS Detroit station WWJ.
Police say Ward jumped to escape the men, one armed with a crowbar, who attacked her following a traffic accident on the bridge. The incident brought out the worst in about 40 people who, police say, cheered the trio on. But it brought out the best in 2 others. Lawrence Walker and a friend dove off the bridge, too, in a futile attempt to save Ward.
Everybody's, you know, laughing and everything, and they got a cell phone and won't even call 911. And so we was like, well, you know, I really didn't think about it. Just jumped in.
Walker believes Ward thought that they were 2 of her attackers, so she swam away from them and was swept up by the swift current to her death. Gary Baumgarten for CBS News, Detroit.
Albert Einstein's granddaughter, Evelyn Einstein, has sued a nephew of the famed scientist to remove him as overseer of a $15 million trust. She wants to be able to sell her grandfather's letters tied up in the trust to raise money to pay her medical expenses related to liver trouble and cancer. Attorney, California State Senator Quentin Kopp.
Evelyn, in a sense, was surprised to discover that her stepmother had provided for by making her a beneficiary of a trust.
On Wall Street, the Dow down 14 points, 10 past the hour.